Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Ion College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. And if you haven't yet, subscribe to the CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel. Also do that while you're here. Let's get into it. Today we are continuing our summer shoot-around series that we're going to be doing over a seven-week span. We've already published episodes on Arizona, Arkansas, Baylor, Connecticut, Creighton, Duke, Florida, Atlantic, Gonzaga, Houston, and Kansas. We're working in alphabetical order. That brings us to Kentucky. Wildcats were 22-12 last season, went 12-6 in the SEC, finished third in the league standings, four games back of Alabama, lost to Vanderbilt in the opening game, their opening game of the SEC tournament, got a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament, beat Providence in the round of 64, lost to Kansas State in the round of 32. Shouts to Jerome Tang, more of us. Nearly everybody from that team is gone, but Antonio Reeves is back, and John Calipari has enrolled the top-ranked recruiting class in the country, one that features four five-star prospects, including three of the top six recruits in the class of 2023, plus West Virginia transfer Trey Mitchell. I've got Kentucky ranked 16th in the top 25-1. We'll see what Norlander thinks about it next, but first, a word from our partners.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
What's up, y'all? This is four-time NBA champ Andre Iguodala.
Yo, and this is his best friend, the Ohio State legend, Evan Marcel Turner I.
Every Wednesday, we drop a new episode on our show, Point Four.
We're talking basketball, business, and all the culture in between.
From locker room stories to some basketball analysis from those who've been in the game.
Now, it is a dude averaging 29-11. God, what'd it take to be an all-star?
A win. Subscribe to Point Forward, the podcast, so you don't miss a thing.
Okay, Deadleg, Kentucky, as a preseason top 20 team, do you adore it?
Mm-mm.
Or do you find it abhorrent?
What's that? Did you try and drop an abhorrent on me there? Did you drop a D in abhorrent?
No. Oh. Abhorrent. Abhorrent?
All right.
Do you find it important? Do you find it repugnant?
Okay. Neither. I definitely don't adore Kentucky as a top 20 team, but I don't think it's an abhorrent choice. Once again, I'm finding myself landing in the middle here. We have had a dramatic offseason for Kentucky. After a dramatic season, things have settled nicely enough, though. I'm not off of my stance that the pressure on John Calipari from that fan base remains relatively intense. Now, I think he's been able to put together a roster, and GP will lay that out in just one second here, that has assuaged some concerns, some, not all. I think the most optimistic of Kentucky fans might be of a mind to think that this team has a chance to be top 10 good. I don't put that completely out of the realm of possibility, but I'm definitely not there right now. And then for the more cynical type, you know, if you're not quite there thinking that Kentucky is for sure going to be a top 25 team, you have precedent and belief to have that backed up. In part because, yes, Kentucky has thrived in the past with, you know, a lot of freshman-dominated rosters, but it has also, even in seasons where that wound up being the case, taken a while, taken the scenic route to get to a point where it can be on elevated, you know, an elevated plateau, if you will. I don't know what's going to be the case with this freshman group. And thankfully, they got Antonio Reeves back. But to me, it's going to have to be a big year of upgrading the defense. Like, the defense at UK has not been top 30 in points per possession allowed the past four seasons. It was 68th last season. And one big reason that's going to have to improve beyond just Kentucky validating top 20 status is, you know, Oscar Tshiebwe being gone means that the team is going to take a dip in its offensive rebounding prowess. Even if it is good, it's unlikely to be great. And it has been great the past two seasons. And Tshiebwe carried a lot of that load. So you figure they're probably going to lose an extra few bonus possessions by not getting offensive boards. Maybe the three-point shooting can improve to offset that. We will see. But the defense is going to have to make up for that as well. And you don't have Cason Wallace anymore, who was one of the best on-ball defenders in the sport last season. It's a bunch of freshmen coming in. Who knows, right? We don't know collectively how dependable they will be on that end of the floor. Kentucky offensively could be good, but is it going to be outside the top 50 on defense? If it is, then I'm kind of prone to think that its top 20 credentials are still suspect to further evaluation. Last season, you know, UK was up and down all season long. You laid out what happened there, but, you know, they win 22 games and they make the second round of the tournament as a sixth seed. It was a letdown of a season, and they, you know, they had some, you know, some injury issues here and there. I get why a lot of these things happen, but as we sit here getting ready to gear up for the season, GP, I think Kentucky will be improved from last season. I do think that's the case, but I'm not sure how improved. Like, they won 21 games in the regular season last season, went 12-6 in the league. I think somewhere in that neighborhood again is on the table. And I don't even think this is necessarily that's a huge indictment on the program or Cal if that were to happen, considering the league they're playing in. But there's so many unanswered questions with this roster. Calipari is fortunate he was able to actually put together what he did in the past few weeks after at one point only having seven dudes on scholarship.
Here's a question. It's 2023.
It is.
My calendar says, at least. If this were 2013, would this roster be ranked number one in the country?
In a vacuum, like,
I bet it would or would be close. And I mean ranked that way by me.
Like, is Kansas, is like, if all things are equal, Kansas still has its players. Like, Kansas has a big man that transferred in. Like, I don't know if that's the case.
My point is, we used to believe in these number one ranked recruiting classes more than we do now.
And that has changed. Keep up with your thought here. I like where you're going with it, but that has changed in part because in the post COVID past few seasons, freshmen on balance, not case by case, but on balance, have had less impact. And across the industry, as you well know, we have had a return to prioritizing, from a production standpoint, more often than not, the third, fourth, fifth, yes, sometimes even six-year player over the guy that's just stepping on campus and is 18 years old.
Because what used to happen is you could you couldn't win with nothing but freshmen. But if you had, you know, Kentucky's 2012 championship team, three of the top six were freshmen. Mm-hmm. Duke's 2015 championship team, three of the top six were freshmen.
That's now, it. Those are the only two.
Yeah, but three of the top six were non-freshmen, and that was important. But three of the top six were freshmen. It looks like on paper, it's probably going to have to be three of the top five at Kentucky this season are going to be freshmen. And yet we think so differently about this now than we did 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago. And some of it is because of the extra COVID year and the one-time transfer waiver, because what you're seeing now is older players consolidate. You know, once upon a time, you would have there'd be a really good mid-major older player. and he'd just kind of stay there probably, you know, because he didn't want to have to sit out and whatever. Like Steph Curry just stayed at Davidson. I don't even know if he ever even seriously considered leaving Davidson. I'm not certain Steph Curry would play 3 years at Davidson if he were entering college right now. He'd start there. I'm not sure he would finish there. And so what happens is now, like, whatever the – there is no equivalent of Steph Curry. Let me make that clear. But whatever the equivalent of, like, really good mid-major play, that guy's probably moving now to a high-major program that's going to get another guy just like him and got two guys who are, you know, former five-star recruit. The older players can now consolidate at places and elevate the ceiling on these teams, and it makes it much more difficult to win when you're relying this heavily on young people. That's my big question with Kentucky. I know people have John Calipari questions. I don't really. Like, the guy's a Hall of Fame coach. I can understand if you're frustrated by it. If you're a Kentucky fan, undeniably, things have trailed off considerably. But John Calipari has coached some of the best college basketball teams of the past, you know, 30 years. I'm not, I won't be surprised if he does it again. What I'm less sure of is, can you win with a bunch of 18 and 19 year olds when the competition as it pertains to trying to go to Final Fours and win a championship is likely going to be rosters filled with much older guys?
CBS Sunday after the Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale Sunday after the Equalizer on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Yeah, that's all fair. I think you are giving more slack on the rope to Cal than the fan base will.
Sure.
If Kentucky this season doesn't finish in the top two in the SEC, doesn't make at least a second weekend run in the NCAA tournament, and isn't seeded fifth or better in the tournament, maybe even fourth or better, there will still be a lot of noise there because it will have been a compounded issue. Mm-hmm. And I'm not convinced right now that Kentucky for the next 5 to 6 seasons is for sure going to be in the spot where Cal can have this team in the top 10, which is the level of expectation, which is where it should be. I think, you know, I'm not going to say this is a make or break season because it might well not, but if it is a massive disappointment, and, you know, I don't put the percentage on that high, but massive disappointment means, you know, double digit seed or worse, not making the tournament. Like, there's a non-zero chance that happens because of how many freshmen here, but you've got good returning player in Reeves, and you've got a talented freshman class. And then you added, like, they were able to add Trey Mitchell because Bob Huggins lost his job at West Virginia. Like, right. that's a really beneficial thing. They've got,
one of those things where, and this is just John Calipari, I'm not even trying to whatever. This is the way he talks, and this is the way he views the world. But he's like, we always had a plan in place. The plan, there was no plan that involved Bob Huggins crashing his vehicle outside of a Taylor Swift concert. That was not part of the plan. But I cannot overstate how fortunate Kentucky is that a couple of things happened. That they got Antonio Reeves back to school. There was a moment where people didn't think Antonio Reeves was coming back to Kentucky. Jeff Goodman reported that he was probably not coming back to Kentucky, and yet they get him back. Trey Mitchell was at West Virginia getting ready to play for Bob Huggins, and then Huggs has his second offseason incident, and suddenly he's available. But I don't know if you mess around with the roster.
Taught you everything you know about Bart Torvik.
No, you didn't.
Yes.
You never told me about the roster tool.
I tried to tell you plenty. You just didn't want to listen.
You never wanted to talk to me about the roster until you were trying to keep that for yourself.
You weren't ready. Somebody let me know when you want to get to wins above bubble. Okay. Somebody let me know when we're ready to graduate.
I'm not there yet. All right. I'm not ready for that yet. But I do know how to work the roster tool now. And if you take Antonio Reeves off of this roster at BartTorvik.com, Kentucky drops from 18th. That's where they're at BartTorvik.com.
Don't tell me it's below 40.
No. Uh-huh. But they're 18th at Torvik. Kentucky is 4th in the SEC behind Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Florida. Florida, 16th preseason at Torvik. Interesting.
It seems rosy.
Interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. That is interesting. If you take Antonio Reeves off the roster, they drop from 18th to 29th. Okay? 18th to 29th. Now, put Antonio Reeves back on the roster. Instead, take Trey Mitchell off. They drop from 18th to 29th.
Trying to put these guys in the transfer portal. That window's closed.
Now, take Antonio Reeves off the roster and Trey Mitchell off
back
the roster.
In the portal, they go. Gosh.
Keep in mind, there was a point. There was a point not so long ago. It wasn't 4 scores in 7 years ago. It was much, much more recently than that. There was a point where Antonio Reeves and Trey Mitchell, neither one were supposed to be on this roster. Nobody thought either one was going to be on the roster, or most people didn't think either one would be on the roster. If you take them both off this roster, Kentucky goes from 18th to 44. This would be a borderline top 50 team without the fortunate additions, late, relatively speaking, in the calendar of Antonio Reeves and Trey Mitchell.
Thankfully, they have them, and they plan on having them if they can remain healthy. That'll be a big-time deal because health is another thing that Kentucky is dealing with right now because it doesn't have Aaron Bradshaw, a freshman, a 7-footer. He's had foot surgery as of late. And then they've got sophomore Ugana Onyenso, who also has had foot surgery. So a couple of their bigs are down for now. We'll see how they, you know, progress toward the start of the season and then how effective they can be. But they did also add another big. This happened literally just a few days ago last week.
Let's hear it.
You want to say his name?
I want you to say his name.
I got his name.
He's the Croatian sensation, Big Z.
What GP is referring to as Big Z is Zvonimir Ivicevic. He's a 7'2 Croatian.
Yes, Zvonimir, Big Z, the Croatian Ivicevic. Sensation.
Zvonimir Ivicevic, the Croatian. The Croatian sensation seems like we might be putting a little too much on his name right now.
The Croatian radiation.
I don't know if we want to go down that way either, but regardless, he's 7'2".
The Croatian medication.
Okay. All right.
Kentucky has health concerns, but now they've enrolled the Croatian medication.
He is a 7'2 dude who has some scoring ability. Still needs to be cleared.
The Croatian elevation.
I actually don't know how good his hops are or not.
He's the Croatian observation.
Okay. All right. He needs to get cleared by the NCAA. Presumably
Croatian validation.
Yeah. Okay. This is all right. This is worse than Jalen Blake's. So he did play for a pro team in Montenegro, but presumably he will be cleared. Although once upon a when.
In his canter.
That did not happen. So, but they're going to, they might, they
the
might.
The Turkish sensation.
All right. I think that's enough. And so getting him is important. Now they've got some real front court depth, presumably if their other two bigs can get back and be productive there. They've got plenty on the wings. I mean, Reeves will probably, I guess, lead the team in scoring. DJ Wagner, you know, good combo guard. Justin Edwards, is, you know, another highly, highly ranked, just a really great scoring wing who should be an impactful player immediately. I think DJ Wagner has been talked about the most. I understand that. He was the highest ranked player in the class, but Edwards has a chance to be.
Thumbs down to that.
What?
Justin Edwards ranked 3rd in the class of 2023, unless you've reached the point where you're ignoring 24/7.
No, I'm not. But what's your point?
DJ Wagner was not the number one player in the recruiting class.
I was saying once upon a time he was. DJ Wagner was once the highest rated player in the class.
Maybe.
No, maybe about it, GP. Okay? The Wagner validation, all right? Edwards probably winds up as the most impactful freshman on the team.
The Croatian termination.
And then you've got, you know, Rob Dillingham, who is another player that needs the ball in his hands. He's going to be a freshman lead guard. And how he and Wagner play together has been the point of some speculation there. And then they bring in Reed Shepard, who I think will be a good producer as well and a good complementary player. But there's a lot of youth here playing alongside the likes of Reeves, Adutheiro's back, and then you've got Trey Mitchell coming in. You know, team's got potential, but man, oh man, I could see them being anywhere from a top 15 team to top 45 team. I really could. I got to see how Cal makes this all work and how he blends it all together, gets the youth to play with each other, and then, you know, you lose Shibway, you lose Sevier Wheeler, you lose Wallace, you lose Toppin, and I understand that, like, even like the guys like Livingston and Frederick weren't like, you know, big time players. There's just a lot to replace here, and so that makes me pump the brakes a little bit. I'm still not convinced I'm going to put this team in my top 25 of my rankings come October.
I'll raise the ceiling on them. I could see, I have them where I have them, 16th, I believe, but I could see them being like, we look up in February on February 1st and they look like the best team in the country. That wouldn't shock me.
That would shock me if Kentucky. Like, I'm not gonna sit here in August and just say anything. I'm just not gonna, like, I know you really would. I would genuinely be surprised. And hell, I love a good plot twist. If Kentucky's the best team in the first week of February of college, like, that would genuinely surprise me. I'm not expecting that to be part of this team's story for the upcoming season.
I'm just saying, and I'm not expecting it either. Otherwise, I'd have them fifth in the country, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, it's not hard for me to imagine we look up and go, well, of course. I mean, they enrolled three of the top six prospects in the country and brought back Antonio Reeves and enrolled Trey Mitchell. Of course they're great. Why wouldn't they be great? Some folks are skeptical, myself included, because they're just very young. And being this heavily reliant on first-year players, not new players, first-year college players, freshmen. Being this reliant on freshmen has not been a great recipe for success, perhaps ever, with few exceptions, but certainly not recently for all the reasons we've already stated. That's why I'm skeptical. I just think there's, you use the term non-zero chance. I think there's a non-zero chance where we go, oh, surprise, surprise, Kentucky with the number one recruiting class in the country, multiple projected first round picks, and three of the top six prospects in the class of 2023 is one of the best teams in the country. Well, yeah, that makes sense. That's just on the table for me.
Which is more likely, if you had to bet a month's salary on either of these, Kentucky gets to 1, 2, or 3 in the AP poll, or Kentucky is seeded 8th or worse in the tournament? Which one do you think is more likely to happen?
Got to be
top three. You got to have a 1, 2, or 3 next to the name at some point in the regular season, or they're seeded 8th or worse in the tournament. What do you think is more likely?
I think them being at some point in the season ranked 1, 2, or 3, if only because all that takes is you win one big game and a bunch of bye games and you've got a zero in the loss column, and then people just push you up there, whether you belong there or not.
They would need, your best situation, theoretically, is you beat Kansas in the Champions Classic.
There you go. You go out and win your Champions Classic game. You just beat the preseason number one.
Yeah.
That's it.
That is it.
That's how you go to top three in the country. You go win your Champions Classic game and you're top three in the country.
It's not easy
to beat Kansas, but it's easy to see how it happens.
With that in mind, Kentucky, as we record this episode, has not released its non-conference schedule, and it hasn't even indicated, like, there are still 2 or 3 holes on this schedule.
They might not even play a non-league schedule.
I assure you that contracts have been signed. There are things on the schedule. So don't want it to be this way, but this is how it is. This is as incomplete of a non-league schedule of any team that we will do in our summer shoot-around. But nonetheless, we push forward. Here's what I got. Kansas in the Champions Classic. Then they got this Kentucky MTE thing, which, whatever. They got St. Joe's, Stonehill, and Texas A&M Commerce. I know you're going to be dialed in for that Commerce game. Texas A&M Commerce, nickname, trivia time. What is it? Can you remotely get close?
Yeah, it's the Texas A&M Commerce Commanders.
Not the Commander. Although their nickname is an NFL team moniker.
Oh, yeah. They're the Texas A&M Corpus Christi Commerce Dolphins.
Corpus Christi. How dare you?
They're the Texas A&M Commerce Dolphins.
No. You get 3 more guesses. The Commanders, not the Dolphins. 3 more. NFC team. I'll even give you a hint.
NFC team. They're the Texas A&M Commerce Packers. They're the Packers.
Not the Packers, man.
Why are they? Why is nobody else the Packers? Should we have more Packers when you think about it?
No, the Packers suck.
Shouldn't we have more Packers? They're the Texas A&M Commerce Rams.
They're not the Rams.
They're the Texas
One
A&M
more.
Commerce.
It is an animal.
I got it. They're the Texas A&M Commerce 49ers.
The famous gold rush in Texas. Oh, yes. My gosh. They're the Lions. They're the Lions. Texas, known for its Lions, by the way.
You could be the Packers.
All right. So that is, oh my gosh. All right. They're going to host Gonzaga in Rupp. Don't worry. That's a return home and home. I think Kentucky plays at the Kennel.
It's nice of the Zags to go to a true road environment after Kentucky declined to do so last season.
They're eventually getting back there. It's literally the last, I think it's the last year of this 14-year arrangement between Kentucky.
Oscar Tshiebwe's kid will be starting for Kentucky by the time that game happens.
Kentucky will host Miami.
There'll be another Wagner McDonald's All-American by the time that happens.
They will play North Carolina in Atlanta in the CBS Sports Classic. They are going to play at Louisville 4 days before Christmas. They've also got a game against Illinois State, but they've still got to fill in a few more games in the non-con. I would love to believe there's at least one more notable opponent on this non-con schedule. We'll see if that's the case or not. I think there's a chance, but they got Kansas, Gonzaga, Miami, Carolina at Louisville. We'll see. In SEC play, here's how the schedule matrix breaks down for Kentucky. They've got to go. They get at home. They've got Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Missouri, Tennessee, Vanderbilt. Road games, Arkansas. So they get Arkansas twice. Auburn. They get Florida twice. LSU. They have Mississippi State twice. They got to play at South Carolina. They got to go on the road. And we know how that can go sometimes. They got to go to Devin Downey's stomping grounds. All right. They play Tennessee twice. They're at A&M. They don't get to host A&M. And they get Vandy twice. So with all of that in mind, an incomplete schedule, I'm putting Kentucky's over-under. They won 21 games in the regular season a year ago, GP. I'm putting them at 22.5 wins. What is the record for the Kentucky Wildcats as they head into the SEC tournament in 2024?
I'm going to go. 2 non-league losses.
You love, by the way, my guy loves saying 2 non-league losses.
Everybody's going to lose 2 non-league
losses. He loves 2 non-league losses. Just write it in automatically.
2 non-league losses. 6 SEC losses. That's 8 heading into the SEC tournament. 31 minus 8. That brings me to 23.
The over. But, man, I'm good. I get you within a game every single time, don't I? How often do you go like 2-3 games above? I think this might happen a couple times, but normally not.
Me and Cal and Dan Hurley. Dusty May hanging out the Final Four.
That's definitely not happening. I will go under, but narrowly. 22-9, not knowing the rest of this non-con schedule, SEC will be good. 22-9 for Kentucky, which is a one-game improvement on what they did a season ago, and I think that will be, in the context of the season, largely acceptable. They set themselves up. Mark me down for UK. Put me down for the Wildcats as a 5 seed heading into the big dance.
My bottom line this on John Calipari, because you mentioned there's some real pressure on him. I don't know that it's actual job pressure. Like, I don't know that John Calipari is coaching for his job. He is certainly coaching for his peace of mind. He's certainly coaching for his quality of life. I don't know that John Calipari could get fired at the end of the season if things didn't go well. But clearly things have trailed off and people are frustrated. And deservedly so. Understandably so.
It's gotten pretty, the room temperature's actually gotten pretty hot a few times in the past.
Yes.
If you're looking up GP, if like just real quick, like last year, the performance at the CBS Sports Classic against UCLA was dismal. If we are at that point again, like mid December, and they're like outside the AP top 25 rankings. Like it's going to be scorching. His seat will be scorching if that's the case, but maybe we avoid that altogether. But I don't want to just dismiss how fraught it has been multiple times. Over the
past. Listen, the fan base has in many ways turned and it can be hard to get that back. If it doesn't go well, it will get ugly. It will be the ugliest situation in college basketball. All right. I just don't know at the end of the deal, they can pay him to go away. Right. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it will be, if things don't go well, there will be no uglier situation in college basketball. I concede that point. And the reason is because, I mean, we talk like just you put some numbers on it. It's wild how much this thing has fallen off. Five Final Fours for John Calipari. From 2008 to 2015. Now, one of those was at Memphis.
That's also absurd because it's ridiculously hard to even get to a Final Four.
So I know, right? But like, I'm just, these are the types of things Kentucky fans will point out.
Yep.
Five Final Fours for Cal from 2008 to 2015. So that's five Final Fours in an 8-year span. Zero Final Fours in the past 8 seasons. Went 9-16 in 2021. Worst Kentucky season in modern history. Zero Sweet 16s in the past 5 years. John Calipari went to the Sweet 16 7 straight years from 2006 to 2012. Some at Memphis, some at Kentucky. He's now failed to make the Sweet 16 in 5 straight seasons. Obviously, there's a pandemic year in that, but still, it's been a long time since this program has operated at the level at which it operated for most of the early years of John Calipari. And if he doesn't get back to that, then eventually they will have a new coach. But between now and then, if he doesn't get back to that, it'll just be miserable. Like it's when you're riding high at Kentucky, this, I imagine nothing better, but when it gets bumpy, I can't imagine there's anything tougher.
I think that's an episode.
I think it is too. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Huck, Larnell. Thank you guys once again for listening and watching Eye on College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple and Spotify. Rate it, review it. More of us than there are of them. That should be reflected in the comments. So knock that out when you're over there. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for being here. We'll talk to you again real soon. Till then, take care.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.